Not cosecant, no. To find the cosecant, you would just take the number and flip it. There is no secant, cosecant, and cotangent buttons. Okay, now to do right triangle trigonometry, you need to know how to use your calculator. So one of the first things I'm going to ask is, in the next 2 to 3 days, if you find you're just getting things wrong and you feel like you're doing setups right, but you're pretty sure it's the graphing calculator, come see me and we'll work on your graphing calculator together. Okay. So everything we're going to do today is going to be based on a right triangle. And we tend to use triangle ABC, where AB is the hypotenuse segment, C is the right angle, side little a is opposite angle A, side little b is opposite angle B, side little c is opposite angle C. That tends to be a standard in right triangle trigonometry. That's the standard I'm going to use also. Sometimes they use Greek letters to represent the angle, and I do that sometimes. Alpha will represent angle A, beta will represent angle B, and gamma will represent angle C. In the book, just so you know, this notation, B equals 42, if it's capital B, it's referring to the angle. If it's small letter B, it's referring to the side. Okay, so let's look at that triangle, and can you tell me any relationship? Let's start with the sides. Any relationships between the sides? Maybe, maybe not though. It looks like it in this picture perhaps. But since it's not stated as an isosceles right triangle, I have to state that to make it straightforward, okay? A squared plus B squared equals C squared. First rule, Pythagorean theorem holds. A squared plus B squared equals C squared. Anything you can tell me about the angles?
C is 90.
C is 90, very good. A plus B plus C is 180, which means A plus B is? 90. And what does that mean A and B are? What's it called when they add up to be 90? Complementary. Very good. That geometry comes screeching out. All right. Can you tell me any relationships between the angles and the sides? Smallest side across from smallest angle, largest side across from largest angle. Excellent. Excellent. Don't forget that. And on a right triangle, what should always be the largest side? Side C, so the hypotenuse. So it helps you check yourself. Good. Now this section is called right triangle trigonometry. So we've dealt with the right part of it. We've dealt with all the triangle relationships from geometry that we know. Now let's talk about some trigonometry. Can anyone tell me some trigonometric relationships that you could see up there? That is, if I forced you, if I pulled out a weed whacker and threatened to hit you with it, weed whacker, I don't know, because it's nice weather outside, and I was going to beat you with it unless you came up with a trigonometric relationship, come up with one, tell me one. Sine squared plus cosine squared equals 1. A trigonometric relationship. Tell me about the sine of A. The sine of angle A. What's it equal to? That's beautiful. What's the cosine of angle A equal to? Cosine. Cosine. B over C. Tell me about the tangent of angle A. Tell me about the sine of angle B. You're going to have to turn your head a little bit. What's the sine of angle B? Yeah, sine of B is B over C. What's the cosine of angle B? Cosine is adjacent over hypotenuse, A over C. What's the tangent of angle B? B over A. Those are some trigonometric functions. You're going to use trigonometry, your calculator, and what you know about triangles to solve triangles. Now, for tonight, the problems are going to ask you to find one piece. But by the time we get to review, which will be next week, yeah, not this week, we'll review next week sometime. It's on the calendar, I'm sure. Oh, probably a week from today we'll be reviewing. You'll be asked to find a bunch of things on a triangle, solve an entire triangle. So I'm going to start with this one. Triangle ABC is a right triangle with angle C equaling 90. solve for the indicated parts. Now, there's no law that says you can only solve for that part. You can do some other work if you'd like to do some preparative work to find other pieces. Yeah.
B is 4. Make sure you put things in the right spot. That's the one thing that you have to be very careful with.
Is that a little c? Yeah, little c.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Capital C, little c. Any ideas about an equation that I could set up? What are you thinking? Oh, well, go ahead, Georgia. What are you thinking?
I was just going to say that the angle B is 38
degrees. Check that subtraction.
I mean, 40.
Yeah, 48. No, that's okay. But that's a great idea. It's not a bad idea if there's some easy things to figure out. That might get you where you need to go. And as we get into some more elaborate problems, labeling angles and going through and finding information is not a bad idea. All right.
Could you set up a ratio like 42 to 48 equals 4 to x?
Is that a true statement that 42 to 48, that the ratio of the angles is equal to the ratio of the sides?
No.
No? Good thought, though. Come on, right triangle, trigonometry. Can any... Cosine of A, cos of 42 equals 4 over C. Beautiful. Step one, half the partial credit is, did you set up a correct equation? Half the partial credit. The rest of the lion's share of partial credit is, isolate the variable for me. I don't want you to start, this. I'll show you why I don't want you to do this. Okay. Isolate C for me. How would you get C by itself? What would you do first thing? I would cross multiply, yeah. So I'd get cos of 42 times C is equal to 4, which means C is equal to 4 over the cosine of 42. Now let's see if you can find that on your calculator. 4 divided by cos of 42, and when you press it in, what's going to happen is you're going to end up getting a number bigger than 4, and you're also going to find that pressing the parentheses doesn't, or pressing the equals doesn't just do the cos of 42, it does the division. It kind of knows to do the division part of the problem. What are you getting for an answer? 5.38. Let's practice rounding. We're going to go to 3 significant digits. 3 significant digits here. But what I want you also to get in the habit of doing is don't pull out your calculator till the very end and use the calculator once per step or once per answer. The reason being, this is what some people will do. Could someone figure out what the cosine of 42 is? Just the cosine of 42. 0.743. All right. 0.743 equals 4 over C. That means C times 0.743 is equal to 4. That means C is equal to 4 divided by 0.743. Could you guys divide 4 by 0.743 for me? Oh, is it still 5.38?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it exactly the same answer that you got over here?
5.38.
Yeah, a little bit different. So 5.38. All right, that problem, it looks like I don't see as much error. But have you learned, but you'll see, actually, I'll show it to you on the other problem. The other one was where it really popped out. Well, I think it does. Yeah, it will on the other one. Okay, let me ask you a question here. Why is there suddenly error when I do it here as opposed to when I did it here?
Because
Michael?
Would you round it that number?
Round to that number, and every time you round a number, you introduce error. And every time you use that problem, use that number, you introduce error. Use that number with a number that has some error by rounding, you really mess things up. So, we're gonna get in the habit of trying to use the calculator only when necessary. Let's look at this one. Side B equals 4, side C equals 7, find angle B. Anyone have any ideas? Michael?
We could get side A by doing Pythagorean theorem.
What are you getting? Root 33. Which is the same thing as?
Five point seven four four.
So we're introducing a little error there. All right. But how am I going to find the angle? Could use the inverse. Which one? What do you want to do? Tell me a regular trig equation to set up without the inverse part of it. Cosine of B is equal to cosine is, okay. I'm going to do this, which means B is equal to, tell me what to write here. Isolate the variable. If cos of B equals this, B is equal to, let's look at this notation. B is going to actually be equal to the inverse cosine of the other side. Practice that. See what you get for an angle.
No, 34.8.
Oh, okay. That's a very good point to bring up. 34.849 is 34.8. Wait a minute. What did you get?
I got 8579.
So you got 34.9. Did you use 5.744?
Yep.
Okay. Who's right? Technically, by truncating, I introduced error. It doesn't seem like much, but what's going to happen is some of you are going to get 34.8, some of you are going to get 34.9, and you might get messed up by that. Or even more interestingly, if you have a number that's like 200, 300, let's say it's 2,000, some of you will get 2,320, and some of you will get 2,312. And then you'll begin to wonder, why do I have error? What is my mistake? It's not a mistake. It's a mistake in truncating. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You could have done this problem without even using the Pythagorean theorem. Michael?
Yeah, I just did that.
What did you do?
You just did the sin of B equals 4 over 7.
The sin? My goodness gracious. Hallelujah. We've got some sinners. Okay. The sine of B is equal to beautiful, which means B is equal to inverse sine of 4/7. Good. What answer did that give you?
34.85.
That gave you the exact same answer as the people who used the root 33 as opposed to the 5.744. Don't worry about the fact that you wrote 5.744. I led you that way. I did that on purpose.
Is that's what the people who plugged in the 5.744 got?
Yes, 34.85.
Oh, okay. You got the 34.85?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, yes. Right. I was more saying the root 33. These people put in that.
No.
The opposite?
Yeah.
The 34.85.
Oh, you're right. Excuse me. Okay. You know what I mean. I don't, but you do. So 34, root 33 as opposed to that. 34.8. Okay. What does this tell us? One, Let's say you wanted to use it with the root 33. Keep the root 33 in. That is, find the square root of 33. And then most of you probably have the ability to continue using a number that you find. Let's say you find on your calculator root 33. You press the enter button and it's going to give you some answer. If you immediately press the division sign, you'll see this pop up. Something like that. Answer divided by. And then you put in, let's see, the 7. Press the enter button and you're going to see some little number come up. If you immediately press the inverse sign button, and then you press the second, and then I believe it is probably the equals button.
I cleared it.
Oh, no, I just want to see this. No, not the enter button. The second, and then the negative sign. If you look above the negative sign, it says answer. If you ever want to recall the most recent answer you just found, press second negative, and that number comes up. It doesn't have a second answer button?
It doesn't have the answer button.
Yes. The TI-33s will, the TI, let me see if that one does, the Casios. Yeah, now you have to, oh, don't even press, you have it right there.
Oh, yeah.
So you're lucky. That's nice. This is a great button to find, the second answer button, because that means you can keep using a number over and over again. All right, will I take off for 34.8 and 34.9? Probably not. But again, you shouldn't be truncating. You shouldn't be writing down these numbers. You should be doing them all in one step. Again, showing me this, half the credit, three quarters, let's say 10 points, 5-9-1. 5-9-1, showing me what you're using to solve. Okay, so let's take this into a word problem. Oh. Monica Friedman hated word problems. Do you guys remember Monica Friedman? You remember? Yeah, she graduated last year. Hated word problems. Hated them. And her sophomore year, she would sit over there, kind of near where Ned is, but leaning against. I had like 18 in that class. And she would kind of lean against that and just would complain miserably. I adored her regardless, but she complained constantly. So, word problems can be tough. We're going to look for some standards. The one thing you have to be able to do is be a little bit flexible in your thinking and not say, well, you're never going to see every word problem. Like, people will be like, but I never saw that one before. I know. We've got to practice a little bit of thinking, a little bit of logic. This first problem, oh, before we do that, standard phrases. Excuse me. There are two standard phrases, an angle of elevation and an angle of depression. These are two phrases you'll see in many, many word problems. An angle of elevation is an angle up from horizontal. Ned, did you go anywhere over break?
Yeah, Florida.
Ned went to Florida in break, and you know what? The funny thing is Ned happened to win a contest and got to go up in a hot air balloon. Ned's brother Sam is afraid of heights, did not want to go up in a hot air balloon. So Ned was up in the hot air balloon and Sam was on the ground. Sam looking at Ned, that is an angle of elevation because Sam's eyes go out horizontally, then Sam's eyes go up to see his brother. That angle in between is an angle of elevation. Ned, his eyes horizontally would look out here. He'd have to look down to see his brother. That angle down there is an angle of depression. So the person up high has the angle of depression. The person down low has the angle of elevation. It is never with vertical, it always is with horizontal. If you draw a particular angle of elevation with or depression with horizontal, you'll get the wrong answers. Okay?
You mean with vertical?
If you draw them with vertical instead of horizontal, sorry, you're right, I did say that wrong. If you draw it with the vertical instead of horizontal, you will get the answer wrong, so be careful. Okay. This first problem, it's amazing to me that it gives people difficulty, but then I have to realize I've done these problems a million times. What really messes people up is the word shadow. Where do shadows fall? Thank you. You'd be amazed how many times people ask that. The other one, do trees go straight up? For our purposes, yeah. You're right. Sometimes they don't. But you don't often see a tree going like this. Okay, no, it was a trick question, yes. Trees typically grow up vertically. So when you draw your tree, okay. Oh, and I'm sorry, this should say the angle of elevation of the sun. I'm sorry, that phrase isn't in there. Oh, my tree's not going straight. Oh, there's my tree. Okay, now, let's put the shadow someplace. Put it flat on the ground, extending out from the tree. Okay. How tall is a tree whose shadow is 47 feet long when the angle of elevation of the sun is 59.3 degrees? This is always my favorite question, but Miss Cassidy, where's the sun? How do I know I don't draw it right here?
Because of the shadow.
Because of the shadow. The shadow is on the other side of the sun from the tree. Like, if you're standing here and your shadow's here, the sun has to be here. Y'all get that science idea? I know. And some of us are like, oh, Pshaw, and then we're like, I was thinking that exact same question. Oh, people who literally will draw the sun like that and be like, I can't do the problem. I couldn't either. That would be very difficult. All right, so the sun is right there. And we call it an angle of elevation because the angle of elevation is considered a perspective from the endpoint of the shadow. Okay? So let logic guide you down the river of the word problem. Where's my angle of elevation going to be then? That one? Oh, the angle that's closest to me, this little teeny angle. There we go. In the A position. 49.3. The shadow is 47 feet long. I want to know how high the tree is. What function do you think I should use to establish the height of the tree? Bless you. Tan. Tan, because tangent is opposite over adjacent.
How do you know where to start? Like when you were doing B, you looked the other way.
Isn't tangent, aren't all the trig functions by definition the relationship of the opposite of the angle, the adjacent side to the angle, or the hypotenuse of the angle? And hypotenuse is always the longest side, right? So adjacent is the other side of the angle, and opposite is the one that's kind of the wall across.
Right, but what angle are you using?
49.3, the only one they gave me. So I'm saying the tan, I hadn't finished writing. The tan of 49.3, the tangent is going to be the opposite, the side opposite, which is T, over the side adjacent, which is 47. Is that okay? All right, then isolate T for me. What would that be? 47 times tangent of 49.3. I do not personally care what the tangent of 49.3 is. You don't have to write that down for me. Step one, write the equation. Step two, isolate the variable. 9 points out of 10. Find me T right now. What are we getting? 54.6. So 54.6. Let's, for a standard, final answers, three significant digits. Three sig figs. What?
What if it's in like the thousands?
Well, but so 0.0, these are not significant.
Oh, I don't know. I mean like thousands. Like
oh, thousands? If that's fair. If you want to go to the ones, that's fine. I'm never going to take off for being over significant, although you don't want to go nuts, but I will take off for being under significant. Like if the answer is 4,128, you can give me 4,128, fine. 4,130, can't give me 4,100, not significant enough. Okay. As we do a word problem, what is the watchword of a word problem? Always first thing. But what should you always do first? When you're doing a word problem? Okay, second thing? Draw a picture! We drew a tree with a shadow and a sun. So every now and again, I give word problems that involve Mr. Thompson and Mr. Trem, their car breaking down at Exxon, and one goes to Falcone's, and one goes to Bagel or to Neil's Nosh. And the drawings I would get, these giant bellies with tiny little heads and giant bellies and stick legs. You'll have fun on this test. I will occasionally put Mrs. Hurst in a word problem. I get someone standing on stage looking down at the students with pearls. I love Mrs. Hurst's pearls. They're wonderful. Okay, one of the equal sides of an isosceles triangle is 23 centimeters, and the vertex angle is 43. Can I ask you guys, where did you draw the vertex angle? Just so we're consistent. Okay, it doesn't matter how you draw it, but I'm going to draw it like this. 23, 23, and 43, but it's okay if you did it like this. That's all right. You don't lose points for drawing it in a different way. It doesn't matter. But sometimes with isosceles triangles, it's a good habit to put the isosceles sides like this, like the giant letter A. All right. I have a problem. It's not right. Guess I can't do it. Or can I? Because what happens when you drop a height in an isosceles triangle? You make a right angle. What else do you make? Two congruent triangles. Two congruent triangles by? Angle side, I think it is. Angle side, because you'll have the right angle, the angle, and the hypotenuse in between. Angle side. All right, so if I drop that right there, or bring it up, is there any more information I can glean from that? 21.5 is here and here. And you've got 90. Do you have to figure out the other side? Because remember, I'm asking you for this whole length right here. Let's say I label this one B. What trig function would I use? You might have to turn your heads. It's opposite, right? That's the opposite side. And what's this? It's opposite the 90? Hypotenuse, right? So what function uses opposite and hypotenuse? Sine, SOHCAHTOA. So the sine of 21.5 is equal to the opposite side over the hypotenuse. That means 23 times the sine of 21.5 is going to equal B, which means what am I going to have to do when I find my answer B? Double it, multiply it by 2, because that's only one of the two lengths. I've got to double it. Now, again, don't write it down by truncating and then doubling it. Don't do it there. Take the number times 2 and write that answer down, because otherwise you introduce a little error. Oh, sure. Yeah, you could do it 46 times that. Absolutely. I wouldn't even have thought of that, but that would have been perfect. Okay, for tomorrow, the next assignment on the assignment sheet.